Chapter 5.
Hounds! Hounds at our heels!
The shout of warning rose from Decimator Prime Diocletian, their presence disturbing to the Sylvaneth. The paladins and their immense thunder axes continued to maintain a place at the rear of the column. With black humour, they whispered among themselves that with axes following behind them, the tree creatures would be encouraged to maintain a hearty pace. Now it was the Decimators who found it necessary to lag behind. Lord Relictor Morbus dashed towards the rear of the column, warning the stormcasts he passed to keep a wary eye upon the flanks. As he rounded the vast gathering of Sylvaneth refugees, he spotted Knight Vexilor Angston rushing out from the icy mist that obscured the other side of the column. Ahead of them, both of the stormcasts could see Diocletian and his paladins. The silver warriors were locked in vicious combat with a slavering pack of mutant hounds. The beasts charged out from the storm, baying and snarling, foam flecking their fangs. With a thunderous crack, the Decimators would bring their enormous axes hacking into the putrid hides of the diseased dogs. But such was the rabid frenzy of the pack that the gory destruction of their fellows did nothing to dissipate their ferocity. Angston and Morbus hurriedly called for liberators to redeploy at the back of the column and form a shield wall to protect the Sylvaneth.
"One could almost feel sorry for the beasts," Angston told Morbus. "Claws and fangs will never pierce Sigmarite plate."
He looked at the standard clenched in his hand.
"There is no glory in cutting down a dull brute corrupted by the dark gods."
Morbus shook his head, pointing his gauntlet at the embattled Decimators.
"It is not glory but necessity that must rule us here," he said.
Already more packs of Chaos Hounds were loping out from the storm. Catching the scent of combat, they hastened to pounce upon the Decimators.
"The beasts have found us. That means Torglug has already overwhelmed Grimm's rearguard."
"No,"
Angston objected, shaking his sword at the heavens.
"The enemy couldn't have overcome so many hallowed knights so quickly."
"Then they found a way around them,"
Morbus declared. He watched as one of the Decimators brought a gigantic mace swinging down. From between the weapon's metal flanges, a withering blast of energy streamed out, engulfing a horned hound as it leapt towards him. The beast's body dissolved into a burst of gore and ash. Even as it died, a dozen more of the animals came rushing out of the mist.
"Diocletian's paladins could make short work of these curs if they came upon them all at once. Staggered as the attacks are, the Decimators can neither wipe them out nor disengage."
Angston scowled at the cruel purposefulness of the enemy. Somewhere behind the veil of mist and storm was Torglug's horde and the Beastmasters who controlled these warhounds. Knowing the mutated dogs couldn't harm the Stormcasts on their own, the villains had decided upon a more callous use for them. They were being expended like shafts loosed from a bow, flung at the hallowed knights in volleys, not to kill, but to delay, to keep them tied down while the full might of the plague hosts drew closer.
"Bring up Osric's retinue," Angston called out.
Morbus caught at the Knight Vexilor's arm.
"You'll weaken the right flank if you withdraw them. That will leave Justinian's retinue as the only judicators to defend that side of the column,"
the Lord Relictor warned.
"Oh, you said it yourself,"
Angston declared.
"The hounds are meant to delay us here. We've got to free ourselves of them, and I'm not about to leave Diocletian's warriors behind. We've left too many of our brothers behind us already."
Osric's retinue took up position ahead of the shield wall. Each of the judicators took careful aim, fastening his keen eye upon the looping shapes emerging from the mist. They ignored the beasts already engaged with the Decimators, confident that the paladins were more than equal to the dogs. It was the waves of warhounds that had yet to close upon their comrades which posed the true menace. At Angston's command, they loosed their arrows into the charging brutes. Yelps and whines sounded from the stricken creatures as one after another crashed into the snow.
"Brothers, fall back!"
Diocletian shouted to his paladins, bringing his own thunder axe sweeping around in a crimson arc that tore the head from one dog and split a second in two. A third beast, its muzzle distorted by insect-like mandibles, sprang at him, the nails on its paws raking at his armor as it struggled to reach his throat. Diocletian slammed the butt of his axe into the hound's ribs, shattering its bones and sending its infected carcass sliding across the ice. With the Judicators and their Skybolt bows keeping fresh packs of hounds from closing upon the Decimators, the Axemen were able to withdraw, joining the massed ranks of the Liberators. Diocletian saluted Angston, quickly reporting to the Knight Vexilor.
"I do not think it'll be long before the enemy finds us," Diocletian said. "The dogs must have caught our scent even on the ice, but what follows them needs a stronger trail. Each of the beasts we fought was already cut before our blades so much as scratched them. They've left a track of putrid blood behind them, straight from us back to their masters."
Angston cast a glance at the Judicators. The bowmen were still picking off hounds charging out from the mist. He realized that deploying Osric's retinue hadn't improved their situation much. True, he'd enabled the Decimators to withdraw, but they still had the mongrels snapping at their backs, with the promise of worse to come. Now it was the Judicators he had to think about leaving behind. The prospect revolted him.
"We have to keep the column moving,"
Morbus said, seeming to reach into Angston's thoughts.
"Our duty is to protect the Lady of Vines and the seed she carries.
If we let the enemy pick away at us piece by piece, we'll be incapable of executing that duty,"
Angston countered.
"We have to conserve our strength. If we stage two companies of Judicators and pull them back in relays..."
Shouts from the right flank of the column drew the attention of the officers away from the hounds behind them. While they were combating the foe at their back, other enemies had slipped around to assault them from the side. Snapping orders to the Liberators and Judicators to defend the rear, Angston, Morbus, and the Decimators rushed to the new conflict. A sickly sweet smell, a stench he could only liken to decaying honey, smashed into Angston's senses at the same time as a cacophony of buzzing struck his ears. Through the mist he could see stormcasts with shields upraised guarding themselves against some threat from above. Then, out of the storm, a vile shape descended, a gigantic fly with a monstrous rider astride its back. Well did he know these abominations, the obscene plague drones, demons of Nurgle. These, then, were the fiendish foes that had followed the trail of diseased blood, enemies with the intelligence to strike not at the first stormcasts they had found, but against that part of the column that seemed weakest.
"Sigmar's hammer," Angston growled.
"They strive to split the column."
More of the enormous flies and their monstrous riders were dipping out of the storm now. They swept across the hallowed knights, slashing at them with plague-infested swords and chitinous claws. A Liberator was lifted into the air as a disgusting barb at the end of one fly's abdomen pierced his chestplate. Another stormcast lost his shield when the slobbering proboscis of a winged demon latched onto it. However, as vicious as the attack against the hallowed knights was, the monsters were more interested in striking the Sylvaneth. The bloated horrors buzzed about the branches of tree lords, ripping away great chunks of bark with their claws, while the plague bearers riding them chopped at the trunks of smaller tree creatures, each cut delivering a white scum of rot to the wounded wood. Justinian's retinue strove to shoot down the diseased demons. Sigmarite shafts slammed into the bloated rot flies, rupturing their swollen abdomens and piercing the membranes of their wings. A few of the monsters succumbed to the arrows, but many more flew on, oblivious to the wounds inflicted upon their rotten bodies.
"The demons seek to use the storm against us," Morbus said. "That is their mistake."
Holding his relic hammer high, the skull-helmed warrior prayed to the God-King for a small measure of his divine might. Light flashed within the overhead clouds, crackling and booming with an elemental indignation. A lance of lightning came streaking down, sizzling into the grotesque shape of a plague drone. Rotfly and rider exploded in a burst of green muck, spattering across the snow in steaming drops. More spears of lightning came searing out of the clouds, blasting the flying demons with vindictive wrath. Their aerial assault dissolved in the fury of Morbus's invocation, and, driven downwards, they found themselves victim to the flashing hammers and swords of the Liberators and the branch claws of the vengeful Sylvaneth. One after another the fiends were struck down, their loathsome essence steaming away in bursts of corruption as their putrid vitality was extinguished. Angston watched as a handful of the flying demons vanished into the snow squall.
"Casualties!"
he called out to the Primes.
One of mine and two from Ishiro's,
Judicator Prime Asterion reported.
Our skybolt bows were enough to keep them from closing with our warriors, but not enough to keep them from reaching the Sylvaneth.
Angston nodded, feeling the weight of his decision to withdraw Osric's retinue. With more of the Judicators on the right flank, perhaps they could have kept the demons back entirely. He glanced up at the standard he bore, the forked lightning bolt of Sigmar's storm hosts. When he left command to Angston, Lord Castellant Grimm had done more than entrust the honor of their chamber to him. He'd made the Knight Vexilor responsible for it as well. Angston turned towards the Sylvaneth. The visages of the tree creatures were inscrutable, but there was no mistaking the pained movements of those that had been struck by the demons, or the malignant mold that encrusted the noxious wounds the plaguebearers left behind. A sickening appreciation for their condition filled him with regret. They had to keep moving, had to get the Lady of Vines beyond the reach of Torglug's pursuing legion. They couldn't slow the retreat for the sick and wounded. How could he make these strange creatures understand that? Could he make them understand? Without Alariel to mediate for them, the Stormcasts were without any firm method of commanding their allies, relying on the vagaries of shared purpose and common enemy.
Let me attend them, Morbus said, as he stepped towards the Sylvaneth.
The Lord Relictor held his relic hammer before him, both hands wrapped about its leather-bound grip. He bore it not as a weapon now, but rather as a symbol, the standard not of the hallowed knights, but of Sigmar himself.
I have called upon the God King's power to destroy. Now may his beneficence grant me the power to heal as well.
A golden glow slowly began to suffuse the hammer, extending from the relic to engulf the man who carried it. While he moved among the Sylvaneth, the tree creatures drew back, uncertain of the power they could sense flowing through Morbus. Then a dryad, hideously stricken by a demon's plague sword, found itself unable to draw back. The golden light washed across the Sylvaneth, and as it did, the mold withered away, and the gashes in its trunk and branches began to close up. When the small dryad was restored, the uncertainty of the other tree creatures was banished. One after another, they lumbered towards Morbus to bathe in the healing light his prayers had invoked. Angston looked on in fascination for a moment. He'd seen Morbus heal wounded Stormcasts, humans, and even Duodin before, but he'd never seen the power used on creatures as strange and uncanny as the Sylvaneth. It was a relief to him that there would be no need to leave any injured allies behind. He even fancied that there was a change in the keening song of the Lady of Vines, a quality of appreciation that hadn't been there before. Casting aside his interest in Morbus's power and the branch wraith's song, Angston turned back to the rear of the column. From the sound of things, it seemed Osric's retinue had dropped the last of the hounds during the fight with the plague drones. He hoped such was the case. They had to get moving again. The demons that had escaped would certainly return to Torglug and try to guide the plague hosts back. By then, if the hallowed knights were to fulfill their mission, the Lady of Vines would have to be far away. Lord Castellant Grimm felt cold certainty pulse through him. The more he looked at the nature of the enemy attacking them, the more convinced he was that they'd been tricked. Torglug had recognized Grimm's strategy and taken measures to bypass them entirely.
Tegras, you've seen Torglug's horde, Grimm stated. He has troops under his command far worse than herds of beastmen and barbarians. Why hasn't he brought them against us? He knows the warriors he's using can't break through.
The Prosecutor Prime followed Grimm's gaze.
Perhaps he thinks he can tire us and then deploy his best warriors.
No, Grimm disagreed. He's fought Stormcasts already.
The image of Lord Celestant Gardas and all the fallen hallowed knights flashed through his mind.
Torglug knows he can't wear us down. What he can do is pin us down, hold us where our strength is no longer an obstacle for him.
Raising his warding lantern high, Grimm called out to the Stormcasts.
Hallowed knights! They aren't trying to break through. They're just keeping us pinned. We need to pull back.
All save the Annihilation Brotherhood retreat in good order.
He looked across the ranks of Judicators with their Boltstorm crossbows. They would be called into action soon. Swinging the lantern from side to side, he gave them the signal they had been waiting for. He glanced across to where the Sylvaneth fought. It seemed the tree creatures were following the example set by the Stormcasts. The Beastmen pursued them every step, just as they did the Hallowed Knights. The difference was that the Sylvaneth didn't have the Judicators behind them.
"Liberators! Stand!"
Grimm shouted the command. Following upon his call for retreat, the order meant something far different to all the Hallowed Knights. The squads of Retributors pulled away to the sides, leaving no one between the Liberators and the Judicators. The shield wall, almost like a single creature, arrested its slow backwards march. The warriors fell to one knee, holding their shields upward to fend off the fury of blows unleashed upon them by their foes. Savage in their bloodlust, the Beastmen failed to notice the ranks of crossbows now aimed at them. The crack of the Boltstorm crossbows was like the rumble of thunder as the Judicators loosed a barrage of bolts into the monsters. Shooting above the heads of their comrades, the missiles slammed into the Gors and Ungors, hurling their bloodied bodies into the beasts following behind them. Only some of the human marauders had sense enough to throw themselves flat as the Judicators continued to rake the Chaos Horde. Scores of Beastmen were killed outright, and dozens more lay gasping and bleating as rancid blood pumped from their wounds. Again and again, the crack of crossbows sounded until at last Grimm's voice cried out, "Recover!" Instantly, the Liberators were back on their feet, the shield wall ready to defy the mob of snarling beasts that charged at them across the litter of their own dead and wounded. While the Stormcasts absorbed the crushing impact of the enraged Gors, the Judicators readied themselves for another salvo. Grimm started down from his vantage. His place now was with his men. Turning, he gave one more order to Tegras.
"I need your prosecutors back in the air. Find out if the Plague Host are outflanking us or if they're simply chasing Alariel."
Stepping back, Tegras spread his wings and climbed into the sky. Seeing their leader ascend, the rest of the prosecutors followed him, pausing to hurl a few Stormcall javelins into the massed Chaos Horde below. The winged warriors circled the battlefield once, then flew off in different directions to scout the storm-wracked terrain. The slow, steady withdrawal of the Liberators continued, the Stormcasts cutting down swathes of Beastmen at every step. Beside them, the Sylvaneth gradually fell back as well, their own ranks exhibiting as much order and discipline as their allies, leaving behind the few tree creatures dragged down by the pursuing Gors so as not to break the pace of their retreat. It took Grimm a few moments to appreciate the cold and inhuman strategy of the Sylvaneth. The tree creatures left behind were abandoned deliberately, sacrificed so the rest could gain ground while the Beastmen hacked apart the lost Sylvaneth in an orgy of violence.
"Liberators! Stand!"
Grimm called out as he marched out to join his men. Once again the tactic was repeated, but this time with a twist that further surprised the Beastmen. After the initial salvo, the Liberators rushed at the bedraggled survivors, slamming into them with sword, shield, and hammer. Grimm's warding lantern cast its holy light across the fray, blinding and tormenting the diseased Gors while invigorating and revivifying the Stormcasts. The Lord Castellan's halberd slashed at the goat-headed monsters, gouging their mangy pelts and branded hides. Talons snapped and savaged any foe that strove to slip past his master's guard. Soon the Gors were routed, stampeding back into the faces of the war herds following behind. When the enemy was entangled in a confusion of retreat and advance, Grimm shouted a command, and the Stormcasts turned about. The shield wall disintegrated as the Liberators withdrew towards the Judicators. The Beastmen behind howled in fury and smashed down their routed kin, leaping forwards in pursuit. The smell of blood broke any semblance of restraint. Those few human marauders near the crazed war herds were butchered, the ancient hate of the Gors for mankind overcoming their common allegiance and mutual master. The rest of the barbarians fled, hurrying away lest they share the fate of their comrades. The great crush of beastmen came charging after the liberators, determined to pull them down and slake their thirst for carnage. The hallowed knights met their rush. Swords and hammers struck down scores of the howling herd. Grimm's halberd pierced the brutish bulk of a snarling chieftain, lifting the monster off the ground and flinging it back into the masses of its herd.
"Only the faithful!"
the Lord Castellan shouted as he pressed forwards, driving the beasts back. Twice he gave voice to the war cry, each time driving his warriors to greater effort. Then a new cry rang from his silvered helm, a signal to judicators and liberators alike.
"Sigmar's wrath!"
Grimm roared. As he did so, the liberators crouched down, shields upraised against the press of foes before them. The judicators were ready for the command. Arranged in a double file, half of them standing while those in the front rank knelt, they unleashed a devastating barrage into the charging beastmen. Dozens of the monsters were struck down by the murderous fire, pierced over and again by powerful bolts of Sigmarite. Those in the front ranks pitched and fell, exposing those coming behind to the rapid salvos, cycling through the bolt-storm crossbows. One murderous fusillade, and the judicators on the flanks stopped shooting. At the same time, the liberators ahead of them stood and advanced against the beastmen, shields locked together in a wall of Sigmarite. The process was repeated all down the line, the crossbows falling silent, while the liberators regained their feet and their position. Soon, an unbroken shield wall again faced the horde. Only now it was a horde in retreat, fleeing across an ice field heaped with their dead. Grimm knew it was but a momentary respite. The Beast Lords would soon have their war herds on the attack again. The threat of Torglug's rage, if nothing else, would goad them onwards. Grimm signalled Retributor Prime Marcius to join him on the battle line.
"I fear I need to call upon the Annihilation Brotherhood for a dangerous duty," he told the mighty paladin.
"Your word is my command," Marcius vowed. "Whatever sacrifice you would ask of us, it is yours."
The loyalty of a paladin was forged in Sigmarite, an asset no commander could afford to squander. Grimm knew what he was asking might cost him the Retributors. He only hoped it was to good purpose. If what he felt in his gut was true, that this attack was but a ruse concocted by Torglug to hold them while he brought the main body of his force against the column, then it was worth that risk.
"Break the ice and fall back to join us," Grimm told Marcius.
He returned the paladin's salute, then cast his gaze out towards the swirling eddies of the storm. More beastmen were loping out from the snow, grunting and snarling at the wretched survivors of the initial assault. It was a doubtful prospect that Marcius would be able to break the ice in time to prevent the Gauls from reaching them. If that was the case, the Retributors would find themselves surrounded by hundreds of merciless enemies. Yet the alternative was to have the beastmen dogging them all the way back to the column. Time was a commodity that Grimm didn't have in such abundance that he could waste it driving back the harassing attacks of war herds. They had to reach the column before Torglug's main force and prevent the warlord from overtaking the Lady of Vines and the Queen Seed.
"Hallowed knights, fall back!"
Grimm shouted to the stormcasts as he climbed down from the icy rise, Talon loping ahead of him. The Sylvaneth appeared to understand his meaning, and leaving a small number of their tree creatures to hold the beastmen still attacking them, they withdrew to join their allies. He wondered if it was genuine initiative on their part, or orders they had been given by the Lady of Vines to follow his example and support his warriors. Whichever way, he knew the Sylvaneth would be a tremendous asset if they found Torglug before they rejoined the column. Casting his eyes skywards, Grimm prayed that Tegras and his scouts would return soon. He needed to know if he'd seen through Torglug's ploy, or if he'd played right into the warlord's diseased hands. Lord Relictor Morbus raised his relic hammer high, calling down the divine lightning. Ice split and cracked, dropping into the frigid waters below. Jagged gashes snaked across the frozen sea, a spiderweb of fissures and crevices. Stunned by the devastation wrought by the Stormcast's magic, the barbarian horsemen were thrown into complete disarray. Charging stallions pitched and fell as the ice buckled or crumpled, smashing their riders beneath them. Men and steeds were sent hurtling into the icy sea as holes opened before them or the fractured ground shattered under their weight. Morbus, however, was less impressed with the damage he had caused. The ice was thicker here, stronger than it had been near the beach. It was tougher to break, more difficult to split. He wondered if they were straying too near to the Jotunberg, and if the giant's wintry emanations were strengthening the ice. Angston held his standard high, using it to signal the Judicators defending the flanks. Poised at the rear of the column, standing well behind the marching Sylvaneth, the knight Vexilor was in an exposed position, but it was the best place from which to issue commands to all of the Stormcasts. Only Diocletian's decimators stood with him as a bodyguard, their presence, close to the tree creatures, still proving a strain upon the strange alliance of men and Sylvaneth. As the shrieks of crippled and drowning horses rang out over the howling storm, Angston felt regret. It was an easy thing to kill marauders and beastmen, but he loathed the necessity of destroying simpler creatures, like horses and hounds. There was a quality of innocence about animals, even those twisted and mutated by chaos, that made them tragic to Angston. While the men and monsters that goaded them to war had come to revel in their corruption and praise the very powers that plagued their bodies, the horses were merely victims of the contagion. Death was the only release for them, but that did not make Angston revel in the deed. Tipping the standard towards the left, Angston directed a volley of arrows across a split that Morbus's lightning shower had caused. As the Judicators loosed against their target, the crack widened, creating a fissure large enough to thwart the marauder horsemen trying to close upon the Sylvaneth exodus. Cursing the Stormcasts, the cavalry wheeled away from the crack, galloping off back into the icy fog. The crash of blades against armor rose from the column's left flank. Turning about, Angston saw a mob of unspeakably vile mutants throwing themselves upon the liberators and their shield wall. The flesh of the attackers rippled with disgusting energies, hideous growths erupting from them in spurts of spontaneous mutation. One raider's head collapsed into a nest of spiny tendrils that whipped and lashed at the hallowed knights, while another had his arms slough away to be replaced by great crab-like pincers. Each attacker's form descended into horrors more grotesque than the last, great spears of horn and bones stabbing out from their skin, or massive claws exploding from their hands. It was a sight of such concentrated madness and terror that any warrior less stalwart than the Stormcasts would have lost heart against such foes. For all their monstrous aspect, Angston could see at once that these mutants wouldn't be able to break through. They fought like wild beasts, lone madmen. They lacked the cohesion and discipline to force a way past the liberators. The Hallowed Knights, by contrast, fought as a single body, supporting and guarding one another as they defied their attackers. No, it wasn't the claws and fangs of the mutants caused Angston to be uneasy. It was the very presence of such enemies that troubled him. Horsemen, hounds, and flying demons had been one thing, swift foes who could range far ahead of Torglug's legion. But these were infantry, however abominable of aspect. Even sent ahead as scouts or skirmishers, they couldn't have strayed too far from the plague hosts. The main enemy force had to be getting close. Even as he made that realization, Angston felt a change in the air. It took him a moment to determine that the Lady of Vines had altered the timbre of her song in some fashion. What that meant, he didn't immediately know. What he saw at once, however, was the Sylvaneth marchers fall still. They'd stopped their retreat. The tree creatures shifted and swayed, the creaks and groans of their wooden bodies mixing into a weird harmony as they came to rest. "They stopped," Decimator Prime Diocletian couldn't believe his eyes. "Don't they know the enemy is close?" Angston shook his head.
"It must be the Lady of Vines. She's told them to stop."
Maybe she is weary of running.
He wondered if that was the meaning of the branch wraith's changing song, but somehow he thought there had to be some deeper purpose. Some glimmer of understanding came to him as he saw a group of towering tree lords lumber out from among the Sylvaneth, pressing their way past the liberators and out across the ice field. They cast their inscrutable gaze across the cracked and pitted terrain, studying the fissures Morbus's lightning had caused. Morbus. With his affinity for things arcane, perhaps he would have some understanding of what was happening. Angston looked towards the left flank, trying to find the Lord Relictor. He couldn't see him among the liberators or the judicators as they picked off charging mutants as they came lunging out of the fog. The absence puzzled Angston. Morbus was always the first to take up a fight. Then Angston recalled Lord Castellant Grimm's words. Their duty wasn't to fight, but to protect Queen Alariel, even if it meant protecting her from herself. That same injunction would apply to the Radiant Queen's retinue. He knew where Morbus had gone. The moment the Sylvaneth stopped, the instant the keening song had changed, the Lord Relictor had withdrawn. He was going to speak to the Lady of Vines herself and find out why she'd brought her people to a stop and put the Queen's seed she carried at jeopardy. Morbus was going to demand an accounting from the Lady of Vines. Lord Relictor Morbus ran through the midst of the Sylvaneth. The great tree creatures parted before him, shifting and twisting aside to allow him passage through their ranks. Though they were silent, he could sense the resentment that smouldered within each wooden body. It wasn't by their own volition they allowed him to move among them, but a command from a higher authority. He knew that command could only have issued from the Lady of Vines, perhaps woven within the melody of her shifting song. It seemed she knew his purpose and had prepared the way for their meeting. Behind him, Morbus could hear the sounds of battle. If the Sylvaneth resented the Stormcasts, then they had good company with his own offence. His place was back there, helping Angston fend off Torglug's raiders, not wasting time urging the branch wraith to get moving again. Whatever madness had caused her to stop the column, he was of no mind to listen to it. Their mission was to keep Alariel from the grasping hands of Chaos, and that was precisely what they were going to do, with or without the help of the Sylvaneth. A copse of towering tree lords stepped aside, as Morbus dashed around their root-like feet. He could feel the incredible age of these creatures, could see the ancient wisdom glowing within their eyes and scratched across their knotted faces. Unlike the other Sylvaneth, these primordial creatures didn't exude a feeling of resentment, but instead evoked a sense of profound disappointment. Even Morbus felt a flicker of guilt as he passed the tree lords, as though he himself were responsible for some grave tragedy. His resolve, his obligations to faith and duty, made Morbus crush down the sliver of doubt. The Stormcasts were the holy warriors of the God-King Sigmar. Whatever they did, wherever they fought, it was by his design and towards his purpose. The nobility of such service couldn't suffer the pollution of doubt. Emerging from the shadow of the tree lords, Morbus found he had reached the fore of the Sylvaneth column. Before him, her legs folded beneath her arboreal body, was the Lady of Vines. In her lap, the brilliant radiance of the Queen Seed cast its glow, bathing the branch wraith in a magical light. In another place, another time, the sight would have been wondrous and enchanting. With the plague host snapping at the rear of the column, it instead provoked only disbelief and frustration.
"Lady," Morbus called out, "why have your people stopped? Why do you sit here when Torglug's army is almost upon us? We must keep moving."
The branch wraith turned her head, fixing Morbus with her inscrutable gaze. The eerie song continued to wind from her wooden mouth, but no words disturbed the harmony. Instead, she raised one of her slender arms and pointed a sharp finger at the relic hammer clenched in his hands. In the same motion, her finger dropped towards the ice. Morbus felt a slight quiver in the ice beneath his feet. Looking aside, he saw several of the ancient tree lords leave the column and step towards the Lady of Vines. The gigantic Sylvaneth turned towards Morbus. He could sense the tremendous effort they made, as tendrils snaked out from their feet and tried to burrow into the ice. Strain as they might, they could do no more than bore holes to the churning sea beneath. The ice pack here was too thick for their roots to dig in and fracture. The tactic they'd used to escape the plague hosts before, cracking the ice and leaving Torglug's warriors stranded on the shore, wouldn't work here. The pack ice was too tough for either the roots of the tree lords or Morbus's relic hammer. The Stormcast scowled within his helm. The Lady of Vines had reached the same conclusion that the Hallowed Knights had. They couldn't outrun the enemy. The branch wraith pointed her clawed hand off towards the horizon. A lessening of the storm's fury allowed Morbus to see what lay in that direction. Huge and monstrous, the craggy body of the Jotunberg rose from the frozen waves like some impossible island. Their retreat across the Sea of Serpents had brought them close to where the giant had fallen. This close to the giant, he could see the mossy growths that pockmarked its body, the ugly lines of corruption that snaked through its enormity. Sections of rock sloughed away and went crashing down into the ice. The Jotunberg, like so much of the Jade Kingdoms, had been poisoned by Nurgle's contagion. At first he thought the thing must be dead, but then he saw a slight stir shudder through one of its legs, a faint motion crackle along one of its arms. Even such faint movements sent a noticeable shiver through the ice. Morbus held the branch wraith's gaze. He knew her intention now, and it stunned him with its sheer magnitude.
"It's impossible," he declared. "No one could command such a behemoth. You can see for yourself that it is infected with Nurgle's rot."
Before he could move forwards to try and intervene, Morbus was struck from behind. The warrior pitched forwards, slamming into the unyielding ice. Before he could recover, he felt fibrous coils winding around his body, lifting him into the air. He was in the grip of one of the tree lords, caught in the web of sinuous branches creeping from its beard. The mighty Sylvaneth's clawed hand closed around Morbus's arm, trapping his hammer within a fist of wood. Morbus could have drawn upon the hammer's power to shatter the tree lord's grip, but it sat ill with him to strike this ancient creature without first trying to reason with it.
"Whatever she's told you, your first duty is to protect your queen," he shouted at the tree lord.
This time there was no denying the feeling of regret that emanated from the tree lord. The creature adjusted its hold on Morbus, allowing him to see what was unfolding around the Lady of Vines. The other tree lords Morbus had passed, the most ancient of their kind to guard the Vale of Athelweard, had formed a circle around the Lady of Vines. Their heavy, creaking voices joined in her song, forming an eerily mournful accompaniment to her magic. The queen seed blazed even more brilliantly. The light surrounding the branch wraith became almost blinding. Even in his captor's grip, Morbus could feel a tremor crackle through the ice and knew that the Jotunberg was stirring. How the Lady of Vines fed such a vast conjuration, Morbus soon discovered. The ancients of Athelweard were withering before his eyes. Strips of bark sloughed away from their trunks. Branches yellowed and snapped as their wood rotted from the inside. The face of one tree lord crumbled away in a mass of dust. The arm of another fell from its shoulder to explode into splinters as it struck the ice. She was drawing upon their primordial vitality to feed the colossal magic she was evoking. The tremors rumbling through the ice became more violent. Through the lessening flurry of snow, Morbus could see the Jotunberg lurch back onto its feet. The Gargantua took one quaking step and then another, forcing its way out across the frozen sea and creating a shattering wave of elemental fury through the ice already packed around it.
The pack ice shattered and crumbled, unleashing a flood of surging waves that reared high into the sky before splashing down in pulverizing cataracts of destruction. Even as the tidal wave slammed down and splintered great swathes of ice, the frigid emanations surging from the giant's body froze them once more, creating weird crests and valleys upon the again unmoving sea. The formation shattered and collapsed as the giant took a second quaking step and sent new tremors through the ice and fresh tides of rolling waves spraying across the sea. But the giant didn't take a third step. With bits of its diseased body crashing away in an avalanche of stone and snow, the Jotunberg toppled back into the Sea of Serpents, throwing up one last great sheet of water from the depths that froze around its wintry mass like an icy shroud. Around the Lady of Vines, the last of the ancient tree lords crashed to the ground, its body little more than a hollow log. The rest of the circle had fared even worse, some reduced to only a few scattered twigs and a heap of dust. They'd sacrificed their immense vitalities, their untold centuries of existence, and all the branch wraith had been able to gain was a few shuddering steps out of the Jotunberg. The Lady of Vines looked solemnly at the residue of the sacrificed tree lords. She rose to her feet, the queen seed's glow clenched in one of her hands. Her eyes looked up at Morbus, then shifted away from him, gazing out across the Sylvaneth column. It seemed to him that she peered through the tree creatures, looking instead at the battle unfolding behind them.
"It wasn't enough," the branch wraith said. "The spell took too much from them, but it wasn't enough."
She returned the glowing queen seed to the hollow in her chest, then raised her voice in a dirge for those who had sacrificed themselves for a desperate effort. No word or gesture passed between the Lady of Vines and the tree lord who held him, but Morbus found himself lowered to the ice and released. He could see the jagged crack that ran through it, and wondered if the Jotunberg's violence had managed even greater havoc closer to the giant. Morbus saw the Lady of Vines turn and begin moving onwards once more. Many of the Sylvaneth followed after her, but Morbus noted that many more were turning and marching in the other direction. Her magic had accomplished less than she'd hoped. The Lady of Vines was leaving some of her followers behind to help the Hallowed Knights fend off Torglug's legion. The Lord Relictor hurried to reach his warriors. If the Lady of Vines was moving on, then some of the Hallowed Knights had to accompany her. To do less would be to forsake their duty.